My name is Stuart Wilkinson and welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. This is a podcast focused on topics relevant to New Zealand business owners with a real emphasis on providing practical ideas, tips and advice on how to move their business forward, especially in these challenging times. In today's episode, we catch up with Greg Hughes again, senior business partner here at Rightway, and he's based in the Wellington region. So we are apparently back to normal, but are we? Greg and I discuss what business owners are facing and how some business owners are currently thriving while some are struggling. We look at why this is and what can businesses do to adapt to the changes they may be facing. We really look at what business owners should be asking themselves when looking at their business in the current environment. How do we make sure businesses are stronger coming out of lockdown, but also have the ability to weather any economic storms that are ahead of us? If you like what you hear today, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Greg, welcome back for the third time, I think, on the podcast.
Or third time. Yeah, thanks.
Third time. I think last time you're on, we were on the budget episode, which went down very well. We're now into level one, which is all very exciting. And in some ways, the shackles, you could argue, have been released and the restraints of the, I guess, the health side of COVID-19 have gone. But we've obviously got the economic side, which will be with us for the foreseeable future. I guess, Greg, you've again been in constant contact with business owners. What's the update from that side? What are the challenges? Is there a bit more optimism out there? Like, what do you feel like?
I feel that there are actually two economies running in parallel at the moment. I've got some clients who have a online presence and in retail, and they're going gangbusters. They cannot believe the volume of transactions. Whether that is a ongoing solution or outcome, I should say, don't know. But at the moment, they're loving it. Then the other economy is the people who really are struggling to get back on their feet, and that's predominantly in the hospitality sector. In between, I've got trade clients who are very busy, but their pipeline is shorter than it would have been in the past. So they've got tradies who've got work up till Christmas and then don't know. So, yeah, that's where I see. In terms of confidence, it was essential we got to level one for general business confidence. So apart from the fact hospitalities, cafes, bars, restaurants couldn't make any money at all and were still losing money, but just losing it slower at level two, at level one, they've got the opportunity to, but now it's the encouragement to get the customers back in and get the place full and get noise in the bar and activity, which builds confidence so it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So that's the biggest driver in that area.
I guess if we start with hospo and the retail, which we know has been hit hard, but there has been plenty in the press this week on that spending's back to normal levels in whether it's Paymark data or from the banks. There was articles out this morning even on that. What has your advice been to the hospo clients that one are getting back into it, but and we don't know if this is a bubble, but my concern a little bit for businesses is there has been a pent-up demand because we've all probably saved a bit of money because we're locked down, and also, cool, we've got a bit of a fresh approach to things. So do you think this is a bit of a bubble that we're going through from a retail and discretionary spend, maybe you call it, point of view, or do you think we are going to be able to get that back to number? What would your advice, Greg, be to those retail hospitals?
So if we take hospo for a moment, you can't control what you can't control. I mean, it's a glib statement. But in hospo, the issue has always been there's only three areas you can control. One's your turnover, one's your cost of goods sold, and the other's your labor, your wages. Nothing's changed, nothing different than that. So the clients who are in hospo, margins are critical, but turnover becomes your singular most important activity at the moment. You've got to focus on getting the punters in the door. Therefore, you probably want to over-service those punters. You've probably got to accept that your wage margins are going to be higher in the short term if the purpose of that is to bring more people in and give them a greater experience. That then generates a momentum of trading that you can then refine back your labor costs and your input costs. So that's my singular takeaway for hospital clients at the moment, is whether you're using social media, whether you're using main advertising, whether you're using a billboard, whether you hopefully have got some form of communication to your customers who used to come in. If you're a restaurant and you've got a database of people who've dined there, do an offer to get them in. Think outside the box to get those people back in the door. They may have been buying from you as a takeaway type service if you had that facility, but now you want bums on seat. Retail still comes back. I don't know where, if this is going to end, but my clients who are in the retail sector with online cannot keep up with the demand. So whether there's been a flick of a switch which has meant the market is more comfortable now buying online, and that came back through COVID-19. So up until then, it was, I'll have a look, but I'll still go in the store. But now they go, no, I'm quite happy to buy online. And the convenience of that has meant people are spending more. And I tend to think that's possibly the case. The bricks and mortar still has a place, in my opinion. But it's a comparable, it runs in parallel with it. But there's no question at all that my clients in the retail space with an online presence are just blowing their numbers out of the water in that area.
And I guess that highlights, Greg, that when you've got diverse sales channels, ways to go to market that have got different ways of interacting with customers, online, whatever, that gives you more options to play with. And I think there's no doubt with the companies that I've spoken to, when they've only got one source of revenue, then they're vulnerable. Whereas if I can scale something up or I can scale something down based on need and want, and that, I know maybe it's hard, you can think in hospo, but there's also hospo, I think, have done a great job of adapting with takeaways and different menu options and stuff. So if some of that stuff's work, let's maybe continue it. Don't just go, oh, well, I'll go back to normal. I think it's being flexible is probably a big part of this.
Couldn't agree more. I wonder how many people personify their customers. And by that I mean is break them in, put a name to them. It's a Mary or a Bill or a Jane or a Bob, and describe what Mary looks like in terms of, you know, what socioeconomic group, does she have kids, you know, does she work full time, what does she buy normally. When you can personify your customer base of that nature, it makes it very, very efficient in your marketing, because you can then do a campaign targeted specifically at Mary or specifically at Bob. And that is the classic situation of growing efficiency in your spend. So I think that becomes a crucial one. So the way to do that is look back at what your business was like pre-lockdown, and who are the people coming in, and did you have a database? And if you didn't, why not start one now? Now, you may have a transient type cafe. A client of mine has a cafe on State Highway 1 in the Mangawekas. So there's not a large pool of customers there. And I was talking to her yesterday, and she's quite confident because in her mind, Kiwis will be doing a lot of road trips. They won't be doing the flight overseas. So her marketing plan is how to get people to stop on their drive from Auckland to Wellington, how to pull into their cafe in Mangaweka. So I think that sort of thing's really smart.
I'll just take on that marketing conversation, Greg, and we had Darren Linton on the podcast a couple of weeks ago talking about marketing ideas. When you've been talking about the plan ahead, budgets, what levers people can pull, Greg, there is often that old adage, oh, well, I'll reduce my marketing spend because it seen as discretionary. You may be, what have you been challenging your clients on that? Have you been getting people to think about it? Because it is an easy thing to pull, but you need also business coming through the door.
In many respects, the traditional model is out the door because you'd be marketing to take market share. Whereas at the moment, everyone's sort of starting from a blank canvas to a degree. I think that marketing is essential, but I think you have to absolutely understand where you're spending your money and who you're spending it on. So I'd almost guarantee you there's businesses there that are wasting money in marketing. I mean, there's that old adage, you know, 50% of my marketing works, I just don't know which 50% it is. Well, in today's environment, you do know where it is, and you can test. And you can test to get the Marys in or test to get the Bobs in, because you can target your campaign to that sector and see what comes out of there. The other point is look at your sweet spot. So I have a client who services average sales range from in the low tens of thousands up to the hundreds. And we're talking about where is the sweet spot of target clients at the moment. Yeah, we like doing the $100,000 jobs, but there's not that many of them and there's a higher risk profile. And what we're looking for is activity. So we think in this client's case, probably around the 15 to 20K that have a higher turnover, less risk if one fails, lower input cost. So again, focus your marketing on your sweet spot at the moment.
And it also links back to on that price point of job or price point of product is also where your margin is and what are you best at delivering in your business model? What are you most efficient at? Because, yeah, we can get carried away with, oh, yeah, I've got the revenue through the door, but if it's not as efficient and you're not making as much margin as you could do, this is not a time to be complacent about that sort of stuff. You've got to dot the I's and cross the T's a little
absolutely.
Bit.
So I made the comment earlier about being less focused on wages as a percentage. But that has to be a conscious decision. It's not just say, oh, I'll fill the cafe with staff and wait for the punters to come in the door. It's got to be a case of where I could normally get away with 2.5 full-time equivalents, I'm going to run 3 full-time equivalents between 12 and 2 because I want people to be able to get in and get out the door quickly because that's their target, whatever. So absolutely, the fundamentals of business have not changed. Margins, it's known what your input costs are. All I'm saying at the moment is the principle I'd be focusing on is the revenue line, is driving business. Even to the extent of saying, well, this is my historic target market, but why? Why can't I look at another target market? And if so, how can I attract them? And what's the call to action?
Yep. Because I think it's, you know, whether it's how you deliver your service through online or through a store in the retail sense, but also your target market, by dealing with different target markets, you're also minimizing risk and maximum opportunity depending where the economy lies over the next 12 months. Because if you focus purely on, I don't know, the tourism sector as an example, I know we've got a client that works in marketing with tourism sector and they're struggling obviously, but all your eggs in one basket, it can have benefits because you can be really tailored to what you do, but it also has that downfall that, and especially the way we are at the moment, that if you that sector's not going well, you're then going to feel the ripple effects and not able to pivot somewhere else. So what traditionally might have worked previously for the, and it could be years we're talking about, has to be questioned. And you may come to the same answer, yep, I'm okay with that. But I guess your point here, Greg, is always question things at the moment and review what you're doing.
So a lot of work we're doing with clients at the moment is forecasting. But they're real-time forecasting, so they're backing into zero, and so we know each month where they're tracking on. But we're doing multiple scenarios. So if a client's coming to a crossroad, go, do I focus this way? Do I bring on more staff? Do I reduce my staff? What does that look like? And so they're conscious decisions.
Yep.
If I can just touch on the trade sector at the moment, as I said previously.
I was just going to ask you that, Greg. Yes, great minds think alike. Great minds, eh?
There are some architects who are busy and carry on being busy, and there are some who have basically fallen to a hole and are desperate for work. Most tradies in the construction sector are busy, but if you go back to the GFC, the hole for them came 12 to 18 months later. But then you have sectors of the country that the problems we had before this are still there. There's still a shortage of housing. Now, we don't have the immigration pressure points come in. Real estate sales are still up, I think. Yep.
Pretty
so
steady.
Activity yep. is still there. So if you have a construction company, you know, I'd be saying now is who I want to align to. What architect firms are out there that I want to start talking to now, not to say, hey, give me a house to build next week, but to start to build that relationship so that February of next year that I'm starting to pick up a house. If you Correct. Are predominantly doing renos, do you look at new builds or vice versa? Depending on how your balance sheet is, do you say, actually, we're in a position to sustain this, we're going to do a spec? And then you talk to your accountant about the risk profile of doing a spec home purely for the purpose of selling. But that is a way of keeping everyone on board and buying your way through that time. So, yeah, so.
Yeah, no, and I know we spoke about this yesterday, Greg, a good friend of mine. He's an architect in the Bay of Plenty, and you know, they had a year's plus pipeline of work, and they focus very much in the commercial space. But they've had, you know, quite a few projects paused, postponed, some cancelled. So, you know, the pipeline's come a lot shorter. And I think there's a couple of points to that. There's one, there is the economic factors of what we're dealing with, and we all are very much aware of that. I think the second factor is what we talked about earlier, is this habit change that we've got in probably two sectors. One, retail, is as what that habit change of moving online, what does that mean to the brick and mortar store in New Zealand? And it might not change, but there is no doubt the spend that people are putting into commercials in that sense has probably changed. I think the other part, and great example of this, is AMP this morning announced that they've moved all their main offices in Wellington and Auckland to flexible workspaces and more dynamic. Is if you are focused in the commercial sector, no one's going to be building office buildings at the moment, because it's not just the economic thing that's changed here. We've got probably the way of working has changed now forever in New Zealand, and there'll be a lot more flexibility working at home, and technology allows this. So I think what we said earlier for the construction sector, I guess the advice, Greg, is if you're going in the commercial space and focus very much on office buildings, you might want to have a little bit of a review of that as an example, and diversify, because there is a wave of change coming to building that's outside of just economic factors.
But you might find, for example, instead of having a business that's focused on construction, it might be on a refit. So a refit.
Yep.
So it's, again, just looking at your business model. I think Kiwis, because we're a very social lot, we never actually stop and ask ourselves the question, what is my point of being? I have a business that doesn't have a divine right to exist. So what is the reason I exist? What's my point of difference? Why do people come to me? If you can define that, then you can express that. And if you can express that, when you target an existing target market or a new target market or a new relationship, you can absolutely, with clarity, say, this is why people deal with me. This is the value I add to you. And I mean, it's very much drifting into marketing, but in the same way, accountancy firms, you know, we don't do annual accounts as our principal business anymore. We do it because there's a statutory obligation for our clients to have their tax returns done, you know. But that's not our business. Our business is helping businesses grow and survive and diversify. And so we've evolved, and you can apply that same logic to any type of business. Your core product may not be your core reason for existing.
And as you said, Greg, the change for us is, and there's always been the need for our customers there, we felt, but it's been heightened, hasn't it? You know, we've not been talking about, we always still do the tax stuff, but it's about what's the next month look like? What's the cash coming in? How do we give you better understanding about that? How do we make better decisions from that information? But the nature of how we engage is a lot more frequent at the moment with our customers, short and sharp and real-time information, making sure they understand what's going on. And I think that's going to flow through to lots of different industries. There's no two ways about it.
Yep. Totally.
So, Greg, I guess we're trying to build up, I guess, now. You know, we're trying to get our clients, and we've talked a lot about marketing and from that, but there will be some businesses now who've maybe they've received a wage subsidy, maybe they've taken on the government's cash flow loan scheme. And this is a really tough question to ask for, and it's very individual, but at what point do people start to have the decision on, I'm in trouble here and I'm not getting the gain that I thought I would? And this may be not because of the economic side of things. It may be this, the problems that maybe you took into the COVID-19 have now got to a stage where they can't be addressed, or they've actually just come to the service. But you know, what are the conversations you've had with clients? Because there needs to be a degree of honesty at some point here. And I know this is a very tough subject and it's very individual, but we've talked a lot internally about this, but what's your thoughts here, Greg?
The honesty is a hard one. And you need to have a professional advisor, whether it's your lawyer or your accountant or your banker, who will be honest with you. And you can't, it's no sense conning yourself. If your business was not succeeding prior to COVID-19, you need to have a plan. It doesn't mean it will fail, but you need to have a plan as to what you'll do different so it will succeed. There is no stigma in business failure. Obviously, if the business has failed because of the inscrupulous actions of the owner, well, that's a different story. But you know, in the old days of being tarred and feathered because you've been a bankrupt type thing, look, business failure is a sign that you tried. And yes, there's pressure points. So please, you know, get that support, but also be clinical about it. Look at your business and say, why do I exist? Now, the supports, I think we've got a two-side situation here. I commend the government on the support that's been provided to keep businesses going through this period. The wage subsidy has been great.
Yep.
The business loan has been great. I am fearful of the lack of vision that is transparent in the government of how the economy itself is going to go forward. And that concerns me.
Yeah.
So there's an old adage, you know, look, do what you can do and look after yourself. So if there's not that defined stimulus to get the economy going, what can you do to get your business going? And if there is no chance at all, then you're better off biting the bullet and not chasing bad money after good money after bad. But my feelings are, I am naturally an optimist. My feelings are that I don't see too many businesses in my client portfolio who will fail. Some of them won't do well for a while. We have some fairly brutal discussions with my clients. But in the main, the clients who can control their environment, irrespective of what happens with government or whatever else, will have the highest chance of succeeding. So control your inputs, know who you're selling to, negotiate your things like your leases and things like that if you have to. Be prepared to bite the bullet. If you're a two-man going, oh, I don't want to make staff redundant because they're very, very loyal, this is not personal. So a little secret is you go and say, what's my business look like? What's the structure that suits it? What are the people that fit that structure? And then maybe that you've got to hire someone new, and it may be that you've got to let people go. But it is in the interest of that, you know. And that's why people talk about KiwiSaver and going, don't look at your KiwiSaver account. Because what they're saying is, in 2 or 3 years, it'll be back and pumping. So we're looking for a strategy now for the next 2 years.
Correct. And I think, and I'll link it below, but there was an excellent article from about Greg Foran from Air New Zealand, and talking about vision for him. And, you know, they've got an 800-day plan, and it's pretty intense. But, you know, they're talking that they're going to be 70%, and he was on the radio this morning, 70% of where they thought they were going to be, well, where they were, sorry, pre-COVID in 2 years' time. And so they've completely adjusted their business, you know. And there's one, you know, one of the poster childs of New Zealand businesses who had a really, really good business. But what's happened has, you know, as he said, we went from 6 billion to zero in weeks. And that's unique. So, but you had to make, he said, we've had to make some tough calls, and we're a different business now. And I think understanding that, but also taking that opportunity to come out stronger, I think is a really good message for business owners, because your mistakes always get made and we always want to do things better, but use this opportunity. And I think, like you talked there, Greg, about that, where some people might have to get let go, but it also might be you need different types of people post COVID-19 to take you through, you know, different skill sets or a different way because you're dealing with different customers, whatever it might be. But, you know, this is an opportunity to come out stronger. There is no two ways about it. And you're right. I think there's been a lot of good support about the government, but that's going to come to an end. And we've all got to pay for it at the end of the day as well, because we're borrowing a lot of money. You've got to be disciplined about your business and take control from that. I guess, yeah, any final comments, Greg, before we sign off?
No, just have confidence. That would be my major one. Have confidence.
Yeah.
Have clarity. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? And why do I exist? Ask yourself those questions. The first one is, why do I exist? What's my point of the business? What am I doing about it? And I'm confident I'm going to succeed. And you'll get there.
Yep. Cool. Thanks, Greg. And you'll be on soon. No doubt about it.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Bye. See you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Right Way. If you want to find out more information about Right Way, simply go to www.rightway.co.nz. If you want to subscribe, please do that on the platform that you're listening to this podcast. And while you're there, please feel free to give us a review. If you want to keep up to date with other information from Right Way, check out the Right Way Business Hub Facebook group, where there's ongoing information posted weekly. Also, check out all our other social media channels for all the updates from Right Way.